We were just looking at the note on the side of page 30. We began. The Heshiv Levovos Abonav Levonim Alavoisim is not only this parent with that child, this child with that parent, but there are two ways of thinking. The two ways of thinking, there's the old way of thinking and there's a new way of thinking. The old way is very holy. When you say the old way, it doesn't mean it's something which is outdated. It doesn't mean it's something chalila that's no longer relevant. It's alive, it's relevant, but it's an old way. And the bonim, the children, not doesn't only mean the new generation, but it means neshamas, souls that came into the world at the end of time, were amongst them, many of whom are neshamas of tohu. Of tohu. Now what that means, neshamas of tohu, sounds like it's a bad thing. It sounds like it's a bad thing. And Mitch, I'm going to have to learn a little piece from the iris on the neshamas of tohu, what that means. But Jews that came into the world who could no longer be soivel galus, who could no longer be soivel, who could no longer endure the darkness, the emptiness that they were experiencing, not understanding, not having the full picture, not getting a sense of the pnimius. And there was a tremendous longing. Rav Kook lived at this intersection, a tremendous, tremendous longing to return to Eretz Yisrael, to return to a healthy, vibrant life as Am Yisrael, but to a large extent without Yiddishkeit. Loving Jews, loving the land, idealism, a readiness to die for those ideals, but not to put on tefillin. Not to put on tefillin, not to mekayim mitzvahs. A disdain for Yiddishkeit that was so strong that it exposed the deep love that they really had and longing for Yiddishkeit. But without an understanding and ability to be able to connect those two worlds of Ovis Ubanim. And we spoke about this last week. How Rav Kook believed that he was sent into that particular time to try to create a bridge between the Ovis and Banim. To try to join the Ovis and Banim, to bring the Ovis to the Banim and the Banim to the Ovis in Eretz Yisrael. In this last period of Galus, which he saw as the Tchiyah, the revival of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, as much as he turned to the new generation and tried to bring them back into Yiddishkeit, he was turning to the old generation and was trying to draw them closer to a healthy sense of national existence. It has nothing to do with politics or Zionism, but national existence in Eretz Yisrael, with a natural and healthy desire to work the land, to breathe, to be able to stand upright and smile again, to be able to be outside in the sunlight, and all of that means to prepare Am Yisrael to be makabel pnei Mashiach Tzekeinu. He felt that the children had that tivius. The new generation had that energy. That energy, the neshamas of Tohu are very, very, very alive. Very alive. And he wanted each generation to inspire and to uplift the other instead of the terrible rift, the lack of communication and the distance that had gone between the two generations. We're on page 30, so Mitzvah, maybe next week or the week after, we'll see the piece inside in the Aris, thank you, on the Neshams of Tohu, to have a better understanding of who we are, of what we're living in. We're still living in this Indian that Rav Kook is talking about. So on page 30, let's just there's the second part of that note in the middle of the page where it says Ba'amudim Haboim, because that's an introduction to the next piece of the Maimer where it starts on the right side Kahahatova Musaris. So let's just read a little bit where it says Ba'amudim Haboim in the middle of the note on the left side of page 30 Ba'amudim Haboim. Ba'amudim Haboim Minasa Harav Latzig Tisa Kalelas. On the coming pages, Rav Kook presents a thesis where he speaks of two different tfisos, two different ways of understanding Musar, ethics, and dat, and religion. Ha'achas metzige es ha-musa kitzav chitzoni. One sees Musa as a tzav chitzoni. Man is essentially clueless, and he needs a tzav chitzoni. He needs the one who is clueful to be mitzav him, to command him, and to instruct him, to give him his marching orders. This, by the way, is a concept that is not new. This is very deeply rooted in the political philosophy of the post-Middle Ages, the Renaissance, and how to understand God's relationship with man and the government's relationship with those who are being governed. But of course, Rav Kook sees it in the light of the Zohar Kaddish and the Tikkunim and the Kisvei Ari, and he lifted everything up to a place of Kedusha. So that's one tfisa. That Musa, ethics, morals, is a tzav chitzoni, shnitan ayidei garem zar. A garem zar means man on his own is not only clueless, but there's a hefkerus. There's a hefkerus, and he has to sort of be reined in and left to his own devices, ish es re'eyu chayim below, one man would devour the other. The one who is commanding, and the commandment, is seen as something foreign, outside of the self, imposing its will upon man who by nature is a wild pagan, is wild. It's like all the kids are. Imagine all the kids in the playground, and then like the person comes with the whistle, and there's the whistle, and when the whistle blows, so there's something very unnatural that's being imposed upon the children, who left on their own, would never get together and form aisles, and raise hands and sit down at a desk, even with everything, even with the whistle blowing, many of them can't.
Lord of the Flies.
Huh? Lord of the Flies, right. Right. It's, that wouldn't happen. They would roam free, right? They would roam free and follow the teva of who they are. So, the commander is a foreigner, outside, who commands with a tzav chitzoni, with the one who was commanded, doesn't identify with the commandment. Okay, I have to do this, because I understand that there needs to be seder, and I understand that everybody has different inyanim, and ish es re'eyu chayim below, that people will destroy each other. I understand that, intellectually. But on a deeper level, in terms of who the person is, the commandment doesn't resonate deep inside. It's an imposition. It's an unnatural imposition upon my free will, which tells me, my free will tells me, Lizrom TV. I don't know how you say Lizrom TV.
Chill out.
Okay, I guess that's how it came down nowadays. Right, to chill out. If you really be chilled out, nowadays you don't have to say that, you say to chill. Chill out means you're already over a bottle. You have to say the word out, right? It's already extra. It's just to chill. It means if you say chill out, it means you're already too nervous. You take life too seriously. It's just chill. Just to chill. Yeah. So, I'm beginning to pick up on with young guys during the week nowadays, right? I'm beginning to pick up a little bit. So, it's an imposition upon a very, very frozen, chilled out existence, which tells me to follow my dreams, my ideals. UCLA 1968, you know what I mean? Like, just be whoever you want to be. And, yeah. Oh, okay. California, Berkeley, UCLA, Berkeley at UCLA at Berkeley. No, it's the same thing. Same thing. And because of that, because the tzav remains a tzav chitzoni, something outside of me, something artificial. Like, you know, like when there's some sort of, in those days of Berkeley and UCLA, and those, it's like, it's when you get one of these guys, you have to come to some place and put on a suit, you know? When you're still like a hippie wearing a suit. So that's how a mitzvah is to a neshama of tohu, you understand? It's like, he puts it on, but you can see, like, it just doesn't feel comfortable. You know? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Like, when you get one of these, he has to go to a funeral, and he has no choice but to put on a suit. So it just doesn't look like it's right. Because the tzav is coming from a place which is chitzani. Shinitan aydei garem zar. The kids in class see the teacher, the rebbe, as a garem zar, as some sort of a strange outsider that doesn't understand us. V'odom chayv lilochem negativo. And basically, I'm being told by the commander-in-chief, I'm being told that I have to contend with my natural will and desire. Because my natural will would have me do A, B, C, and so on. And because of conventional life, and because I was told that otherwise I'm never going to get married and have a normal life and so on, so the hippie puts on the suit. And he as a result of that, he feels that he's constantly at war with his teva. These rules are opposed to his teva. And internally, he suffers from the disparity between he sees as his teva, of who he is, and society, and halacha, whatever it is, whatever you want to call the rules and the rule makers, has imposed upon me. Negativo. So he has to fight against his teva to be makabel the mitzvah of staying still on Shabbos. To makabel against his teva, not to go over to any girl in the world and say, you know, your eyes shine like the stars that come out at night or something. He has to fight against his teva. B'tfisa hashnia. So that's one tfisa of man vis-a-vis commandment and commander. Again, the model is a model that can be understood even outside of the Dalet Amos of Halacha, but it needs to be understood within the Dalet Amos of Halacha. But tfisa hashnia, the second school, but tfisa hashnia hamusa, morals and ethics and so on, laws, who bitui litivius ha'atzmis biyoser. It's just the opposite. Ein lecha ben chayrin, what? Elamisha isa betar. Just the opposite. The commander and the commandment penetrates the very depths of who you are. You don't understand. You don't understand really what you need. And if anything, the commandment is a bitui, is an expression of the very essence of who you are, and it relates and it connects to the tivius ha'atzmis biyosim. More than anything you could make up on your own. More than anything you can make up on your own as a way of life, the commandment and those morals speak to the tivius ha'atzmis. Shel adam ha'shoef l'ram u'lemisnasi, because the truth is, man is not an animal. Man is a very exalted being. And the essence of man, who he is seeking something very, very great, something beyond the silliness and the limitations of conventional life. And only the one who is higher and who is beyond understands that in all of its depths, and will design a program for you to bring you to that place where you really want to go, to bring you to something much higher than your everyday self, to bring you to your true self. Shivas Yisrael La'artzom, the return of Am Yisrael, the return to our land. Shivas Yisrael La'artzom, Tchias Yisrael, and the revival of Yisrael. Mahave Mahapecha Ruchanis. As we were learning last week, he was explaining, it's not just a demographic change or some sort of a nationalistic movement that comes from a nostalgic connection to the ancient homeland, as all of the secularists presented these things. It's not that. Shivas Yisrael Atzam, Tchias Yisrael, the return to Eretz Yisrael, and Tchias Yisrael. Tchias Yisrael, Mahava Mahapecha Ruchanis. It's not a historical, it's not just, it's also, but it's not just a historical Mahapecha, a Mahapecha revolution. It's not just a historical revolution. It's not just, you know, the Irish going to Ireland, Lahavdil, and the English going to England. It's a Mahapecha Ruchanis. Mapecha ruchanis, dasis, sumusaris, on all levels. Shasid l'roimim is kol musagei avodas Hashem. Shasid l'roimim is kol musagei avodas Hashem. That is going and is in the process of and will lift up all of our musagim of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. There's nothing as liberating as being an Eved Hashem. There's no one as free as an Eved Hashem. The misunderstanding of what Avodas Hashem is has led to a mass exodus from Yiddishkeit. The misunderstanding of what it means to be an Eved Hashem, even the words Eved Hashem. Last week's parasha, ki sikne Eved Ivri, that's when everybody stops doing the parasha. They start to do like Navi and stuff. You know. When you hear the words ki sikne Eved Ivri, you say, I'm out of here. Ki sikne avid. I don't want that. The whole musig of avdus is something which is so foreign to us. And even though we all say, avodas Hashem, avodas Hashem, avodas Hashem, but the Hashem part is interesting, but the avodas thing is not something we're interested in. To lift up the whole musig of avodas Hashem. That the world calls religion. Religion. The Ramah shall tivius atzmis, to bring it out, to reveal the essence of avoda. That avoda is not that there's something outside of you that doesn't understand you, that's imposing his will upon you just that you'll behave, just that you shouldn't kill everybody, just that things should go well. But rather, to bring avoda to the tivius atzmis shel chayim, the tivius atzmis avoda Hashem means to be alive. It means life itself. It's not an interruption to life. Many Jews, Orthodox Jews, see Torah and Mitzvahs as an interruption to their lives, even though they've accepted to be officially they signed up. Or someone else signed for them to be Avdei Hashem. So a person says, I'm Orthodox. But that avoda gets in the way of natural, healthy life. And for many Orthodox Jews, they feel that it imposes a darkness upon their otherwise natural lives. So what many people try to do, even Orthodox Jews nowadays, they try to design a new, more exciting Orthodoxy. So my Orthodoxy has the girls dancing on Simchas Torah with the Sefer Torah and going up for an Aliyah and reading the Megillah all in one day. Okay? And, my Orthodoxy, an Orthodoxy that I am able to custom design to fit my nature. That's where all of this comes from. And it's creeping into Orthodoxy. It used to be that there were Jews that called themselves conservative and reform and so on. Now, since they see Orthodoxy, old school Orthodoxy, is such a foreign thing, it doesn't understand modern man. It doesn't understand the needs of modern man and modern woman. So the answer to that is we're going to custom design an Orthodoxy that makes people happy. We need an Orthodoxy that makes people happy. The old Orthodoxy, it made the old generation obedient. We didn't see that our parents or grandparents were particularly happy with it. And the new Orthodoxy is how are we able to move the pieces around in halacha so that somehow in some way that the new generation will feel that this is natural, this is good. That this is good. So if it means providing a more panasa for the seifrim, meaning to sell tefillin to women also, so then if that makes the women feel better, so we'll try to find the sheet in halacha and pull that out from the Rishonim and put together a couple of pieces of Gemara with using a computer program, and to put together a few Gemaras with a couple of Rishonim, and to have a convocation and to come out with something that the Chassam Sefer never thought of, because this will make everybody happy, and not only that, it speaks to 21st century postmodern man. It speaks to us. It has to speak to us. Otherwise, the old way is outside, foreign, imposing will, and the children are not happy. They're not happy. They don't want to go to the class. We have to make this more interesting. We have to make it more exciting. We have to do all kinds of things. Gemara, we have to do something about the Gemara. We have to try to teach it a different way. We have to try to make Yiddishkeit work for our generation. And even, by the way, even the most frum nowadays are thinking of ways to do that. And there's something very, very normal and healthy about that when it's done al pi halacha with great Talmid Chachamim, not by over-anxious amateurs. So the problem is that problem of how one views mitzvahs, of how one views Yiddishkeit. What does it mean to be an eved? To be an eved. An eved, we don't know what an eved is, we never met an eved. But an eved is somebody who is able to humbly put his head down and to say, yes, my inyan is to serve you. And that is something which I find very gratifying. We don't know what that means. We don't understand. How does that avdus free the person? After hearing a million drushes on this subject, we still don't feel that. We don't feel that. So the new generation, the Bonim, they decided that they're not going along with the program anymore. Like I was talking about last week, when that one shepherd is going with a million sheep. So finally, like there are some sheep that just said, Gamarnu. No, we're not doing this anymore. We don't want to walk around like, you know, in the Negev someplace. If anything, we'll go to Eilat and go to a 5-star hotel or something. We're not walking around with this guy and he's not telling us what to do. because we weren't created to follow somebody in the desert from one place to the next. That's not where we have another purpose in our lives. We want to do what we want to do. So that's what happened with the Bonham, with the children. At the crossroads of history, as we entered into the time of the Tchiyah, into the times, the time preparing for the coming of Mashiach to come. This is what happened. In the old generation, they're shaking their heads. And they can't find a sprach, a language, a word. And it's just, put on your tefillin, stop talking about this stuff. And the kids are running for everything, every book they could find, every Russian book, every Yiddish book that was written by some apikores. And the old generation is just getting angrier and angrier, further and further away. And then in this drama, it says, enters Rav Kook. So here's a strange person. He looks like he's from the old school. He looks like something. He's got that coat that goes down to the floor. He's got that furry hat. He's got a beard and peis. He gives shiurim at the deepest level of halacha and gemara, Rosh Hashiva. He speaks the old language, but there's something different about him. And that person who lived with those two worlds of tohu and tikkun rumbling within him tried to make peace between the avos and banim. Sadly, I mean, even tragically, in his lifetime, he was more revered by the banim and hated by the avos. It's a very big tragedy. That's a generalism, and of course there are many, 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 many exceptions. Now there's more of an understanding that grows from day to day. These two people are called here in Rav Kook's writings the Yosher and the Kovesh. So let's learn. On the right side, on page 30 in the actual text. To upgrade and to improve the musar, the morals, the ethics, the ethical moral standing of the individual, so too when it comes to the hatova of the klal kula, of the people as a klal in general. It all comes back to two madregos hayiduos that we're familiar with, that are found in many, many of the Sifrei HaRishonim. This term, Yosho and Kovesh, was popularized by the Ksava Kabbalah, as it's brought down in the note. He summarized that the Ksava Kabbalah, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, he referred to it in this way, as Yosho v'Kovesh. But it's Tzadik Bal Tshuva, whatever you like. It's in Chazal, there are different ways of referring to it, and the Rishonim are different ways of referring to it. It's the same Yisod. Yoshar, the Chosid, the Yoshar, the one who's naturally straight, comfortable with doing what he has to, Yoshar. He's not fighting every minute with his Yetzahara. A tzaddik, a chosid, a kaddish, yosha. Just one second. Va'kovesh, and the kovesh. Of course, the kovesh is the one for whom everything that he feels outside of himself is a fight. He's a kovesh. He has to conquer, fight against those impulses that are telling him to run for it, to leave. He has to be kovesh. To hold back. Kovesh doesn't only mean to conquer, it means to hold back, to hold in. To pickle. To keep. That's a lush, that's what, to be kovesh. In halacha, that's what it means. Yeah, Shimi.
I'm sorry, it seems like Rebbe's describing this to different people, but I thought from when Rebbe was saying at the beginning, I thought that really it's really maybe like the Nefesh Bahamas and the Nefesh Elokus, that they could both be legitimate forces inside a person. Just one.
Of course, ideally, but Rav Kook is presenting it as a typology, the way to understand anything, and the way that we, in all the Svarim, is to try to first clarify these two Mahalchem, and then of course, we realize that everybody has both, that there are some that are not much more to this, and there are those that are not more to that. But in order to be able to come to that, we have to first categorize. It's always that you read that to categorize, because it's not the Metzius. Because the Metzius is much more complicated. But still, in order to be able to deal with the Metzius, it's necessary to make categories. Because everybody thinks right away, well, I am a Kovesh, I guess, but I like to think I'm also a Yosher, right? So, of course, it's both with the individual and with the Klal. It's not so pushy. And yet, there are certainly people in whom you see that it's predominantly one way and recessively the other way. And even with people, with nations, that there's a predominant way and there's a recessive way at a certain kufa in time. That's how it is. Hayoshev HaKovesh, the one who's Yosha straight, and the Kovesh, the one who has to conquer, who has to fight those demons. Hayochid b'shoshu adayin le'ola admroim pisgas ha-musa ha-gomor, b'shoshu b'tivo odlo nechkach yofa ha-chaysim shal ha-tzedek v'ha-toyv. And you see right away, Shimi, he speaks about the individual who generally does see himself as a Yosha. It's a fine person. Nevertheless, the individual b'shoshu adayin lo'ola, as long as he has not ascended, ad merom pisgas amusa hagomer, as long as he hasn't yet ascended to the peak of morality, of Musar, of Tzidkus. He's not the tzaddik of the Tanya. He hasn't gone to that place, to that mountaintop. He hasn't come to that place yet. Admiram Pisgas Amusa Hagamur, Bishar Shibitivo, Odlo Nechkak Yofe, as long as in his Teva it hasn't yet been completely and perfectly engraved, Hachosim, the seal of Tzedek Vahatoiv. Like the Tanya speaks about a person who during davening, he at the time of tefillah, at the time of avodah, he feels that he's at the peak of the mountain. But then after davening, he's able to descend. And if not b'poel, if not chalila with anything that he does that's wrong, he changes from. He feels that something happened. I was a yosher, and now I'm a kovesh. I was a yosher, and now I'm a kovesh. So of course, this happens from. I would say from hour to hour, it could be from minute to minute in the person's life. Because in the Tevel, Odlo Nechkak Yofa Choysim Shul HaTzedek V'Atov, the seal, the engraving, the imprint of Tzedek and Tov hasn't penetrated him completely. So Oz Darko HaYeshara Koshalov. Darko HaYeshara, his Derech HaYosha, Darko HaYeshara, Kosher Lov. It's hard. No, he was flying B'Shas Atfila, or whatever that thing was, where he was, where his Yashrus his Yashrus was highlighted. But then. Darka Hayeshara Kosher Alav, and Hutzarech LaMilchamos Al Kol Tzad. And when he descends from the mountain, it's Milchamos Al Kol Tzad. Again, nobody's like Shemi was saying. No one's entirely a Yashar, entirely a Kovish. But this, the two Mahalchim, Hutzarech LaMilchamos Al Kol Tzad. Because there's something that hasn't yet penetrated to the depths, to the core of who he is, and there's still a part of him that feels that there's something artificial about him obeying. there's still something artificial. It's something that is not him. There's a part of him that hasn't yet become imprinted with that reality of Elokus. And because of that, there's a piece of him that feels like the kid in the playground, and here comes the guy with the whistle. There's a part of him that still feels that. And because of that, it's a mocham al kol tzad. It's a mocham. It's a war. Every step is a war. It's a mocham al kol tzad. V'humuchrach lahadoiches k'choysev haroim. And he feels like he's constantly repressing, fighting those k'choysev haroim. Those ugly impulsive koiches that are threatening to take over his life. It's a mulchama kol tzad v'tzad. L'kavsho, to conquer, to hold them back. U'levatlam l'famim. Mostly it's holding back, because kibush, the madregas of kibush, is not yet a bittul. A bittul means sometimes he's able to be mevatel a certain inyan, to completely eradicate that from his life. That inyan that he was fighting against. He's able to make a conquest and to move on. Like the mashal we were using last week, a very clear mashal of a person who was addicted. And as long as that thing is still alive in him, when he walks into the room with the drinks, so it's a tremendous effort. It's a milchama mamish, not to slip back into the old habit. It's a tremendous milchama, and it requires kibush after kibush, called tzad milchama. Every step is a milchama. Sometimes it comes to a point where he's mevatlet, that he's victorious and he has vanquished the dragon. They're finished. He's done with that inyan. He's done with that inyan. There's always something else. But he's done with that inyan. For that inyan, he's done. He's mevatlet. There's no greater feeling of being alive than that moment of vanquishing the dragon. There's no greater sense of being alive. Of uvacharta b'chaim, there's no greater feeling of being alive than that moment of the conquest. The conquest. Gemarnu, v'lehevah ka'afra da'ara. Finished. It doesn't appeal to me anymore. It doesn't speak to me anymore. I'm not interested in it. I see it for what it is, for what it did to me, that drink, that cigarette, that piece of cake. I'm done. Of course, people often delude themselves. But there is such a thing. Levatlam. But Rav Kook says levatlam, but you see what he writes. Lefamim. Sometimes. Yes. Levatlam, lefamim. Sometimes there's a bit. So Jews were living like this, and for the most part lived this way. Good people with a strong measure of yashrus, who want to do the right thing. But at the end of the day, there's still a commander-in-chief, and there's still a part of me that hasn't been conquered. I mean, that I haven't conquered within myself. And it's a milchama. It's a milchama. It's a war. And war requires tremendous, tremendous conviction, tremendous amunah, to believe in the righteousness of your cause, right? You have to believe in that. See, guy, you can get a guy to go to shul, at 9:45, put on tefillin for a couple of minutes. But if he happens to be transferred to a neighborhood where there's only one minyan and it's at 6:15, it's not so pashut. Because then he really has to believe in the justice of his of the cause, which is to get up and say the same thing I said yesterday. And for that, he has to really believe that this is a reason to fight. To walk around with the talis bottle at 11:45, you know, and to pass by and there's kahal machzike hadas or something, and someone's waiting there for a 10th guy and it's coming on. It's almost mincha, but we have another 5 minutes till mincha. We need you for a minion. And so, okay, and he walks in whenever he happens to get up. For that, you don't have to have such strong convictions, you understand? Or you get a guy, a bocha, and he's in yeshiva, and he's learning, and everything's going well, and he hasn't seen in the keva for a year or something. But then when he comes back to his old haunt, and it's infested with the cavers. So then, I don't mean to compare them to, you know, to compare the cavers to other infestations, but it's infested with the cavers. And then the bocher, now he has to have serious convictions, like to be in the, now it's a Muhammad. Now it's a Muhammad. So he's sitting in his Beis HaMedrash someplace, you know, on a mountaintop in Eretz Yisrael, and he's a big Oved Hashem with Shmir Seinayim, Skavald. And nowadays, even there, it's a chokhmah because of the phones. But let's say he had the strength to throw that thing away, so he's not in that parasha. But when he comes down from the mountain, and he's now back on the battlefield, so the one who was a yasher realizes that it's back to the Muhammad. Now, unless he has very, very strong convictions, unless the tzedek of his cause, the righteousness of his cause has been deeply imprinted in his essence, he doesn't have any more the willpower to fight. That's exactly what's happened and is happening. You don't have the willpower to fight against that. That's what's happening in Israel with many of the soldiers who have had it. Many of our young people, our brothers and sisters there that have had it, and they don't believe as the first generation did, as the old generation did, and even as the generation of the Six Day War, they don't believe as much in the justness of the Jewish people being in their homeland. And the second the Jews begin to speak about it, about making compromises and about leaving over certain chalakim to the Arab and so on, so we have to be careful because we the generation of the Holocaust, now we're becoming, God forbid, those who are mistreating others. These are lashonis that Jews are using. So then, once you no longer believe with deep conviction in the justness of your cause, you're not going to make much of a soldier. You're not gonna be a very effective soldier. If somebody has to fight a war that he doesn't believe in. We'd rather be a conscientious objector to that war and to stay out of it. That's what happened in America back in Vietnam. When many of the, at the same time with the hippies, they didn't believe with any conviction at all in any Muhammad of that type. And it's hard to put the forget about the three-piece suit. It's hard to put a uniform on a guy like that, to make him into a marine and to make him into a soldier. He doesn't believe in the milchama. He doesn't have conviction milchama, deep convictions in the tzidkas of the milchama. And when that happens, chalila, you lose. So if Cook says this. Fight, this kibush, this picture of Yiddishkeit, where every step along the way is a milchama, is of course not the tachlis, and that's not what it means to be an Eved Hashem. It's required of the Eved Hashem. But Rav Kook says, einenu derech ha'ora adayin. It's not yet the way of light. It's not the way of ora, of or. Because when he adds, what does he add into his life? When he begins to access the light of Yiddishkeit, Eurishal Torah, the Ur HaTorah, Pnimis HaTorah, Be'erishal Torah. Kasha Yosef lekach v'yishtamish ba'orish otayr mitzorif ha'mor ha'sichli, the or of Torah, the deepest, deepest light of Torah. Because the deepest light of Torah speaks to the deepest part of a Jew and can help him understand to feel that Yiddishkeit is his nature, that tefillin is who he is. It's not a melchama. That Shmiras Hainayim, Shmiras Habris, Shmiras Haloshim is Tivius Yisraelius. It's the Teva of a Jew to guard his eyes. It's the Teva of a Jew. The Nigla of Torah doesn't speak to that place, that part. It gives aces, advice, recommendations. Every piece of advice in Nigla is, I hope you don't mind me, I just remember something stupid. So I'm going to cite something from the old television shows that we used to watch back in the 60s. But some of you who are from that time remember Maxwell Smart. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. So if you're from that time, if not, then just look in the safer for 2 minutes. But some of you might remember that every time that Max, who of course was a Yid, and very obviously Jewish, I don't know if he's still alive, but he was a Yid. So every time Max had to go on some big mission, some big thing that was going to save the world from chaos. So the last thing he did before he went, who remembers? What was the last thing? He went to the lab. That control had a lab downstairs. And there was a guy there, I don't remember his name, or Hashem. Huh? There was a guy there. The guy was in charge of all the technology and weapons and control. I don't remember his name. No, I do remember. I think I remember. All right, what's the difference? So, this Larson, I think. This, I'm not sure. So this guy would show Max, like Max had to go like in this whole thing, this mission. So the guy downstairs in the scientist, who himself was a very, very, very funny guy. Everybody there was very funny. So there's this guy, and he would like show this new stuff like to Max, like these unbelievably cool like devices and weapons that he's going to be able to use in his fight, you know, against evil, in his fight against evil. And of course he would always botch up and how to use it and so on, but all these like he had a phone on his shoe, which nowadays is a galachta. Why should anybody have to do that? You could carry it in your pocket. But he had, you know, he would take off his shoe, you know, and talk on the phone and start dialing on the phone. But all these, like, all of these devices, you see, lahavdil, infinite havdalos, the nigla of Torah is giving, when you go that day out to war, when you're going out to war, so the balmusser in the yeshiva gives a shmuz, and he tries to arm the boys with some of the latest weapons. You know, some new weapons. Guys, we're going out, the world is disgusting, the world stinks, the world is filth, and we have to fight against chaos, but we have something new. And he takes out, the Baal Musa takes out from his pocket something, an Eitzah, which he just explains just in the most simplistic way, in Pashtas, of what this Eitzah is, and if he has a sense of that chevra that he's talking to, so the guys feel that they've been empowered because they have a new little weapon that they could use in the milchama. So, for instance, with the whole milchama against the internet, so you could have a buddy system. So they had these big askanim, smart people that sat around and came up with this idea, which is a very good idea, that everybody, every male, because girls are not usually struggling with this as much, but every male can have a buddy on the internet. That means that anytime you go on the internet, there's some other Jew that is going to see everything that you're doing on the internet, unless you really know how to use the internet, in which case he won't see it. But if you don't know as much about the internet, that's what guys tell me. If you don't know, so then you have your buddy. So that's what was given. Da-da-da-da-da. Max was given a new weapon. The yeshiva bacher was given a weapon, and the younger man was given a weapon. It's called the buddy system. Max, this, you have to use the buddy system. That means if you go on the internet, you're going to have a buddy. And in this way, we're going to conquer chaos and win the world back to the side of good. But you need to have this. You need to have this. This weapon that's called the buddy system. So if Cook says, "Kikashi Yosef lekach v'yistamish barushal Torah mitzarif amar hasichli v'netiyat tivish shabalev hayoshev atom mishari yofe az yimtze kiu enet tzarach kol kach lios baal mulchamas." When a person enters into the light of Torah, when he sees the light of Torah together with mar hasichli, together with the light of his intellect, of an intelligent, mature mind, v'netiha tivis, and the natural netiya, the holy netiya, inclination of a Jew, shebelev hayosher, because it's in the heart of a Jew who's yosher and tomim, sheisayri yofa, that was awakened in a beautiful way through this light of Torah, through the ma'or ha-Torah, through Irish ha-Torah, through pnimis ha-Torah. Az yimtze kihu einenu tzarich kol kach lios baal mulchamas. Then he finds out, he discovers that what? He doesn't have to be such a Baal Milchamas. I don't have to translate that. Everybody knows what it means. He doesn't have to be such a Baal Milchamas. It doesn't have to be such a Baal Milchamas. It's not a Milchama. It's not a Milchama. Because if that Olam Gadol will take out from his pocket to give the boys Irish Al Tyra, and that together with their constantly honing the koiches of the seichel with learning strong and deep pshas and poskim with the Irish al Torah, so then you don't have to have a buddy. You don't have to have a buddy. You're bechlal not interested in what the ugly things are on the internet. Not only not interested, but even the thought of it causes you to have to go to the bathroom. Forgive me for saying that. Not that it's a mulchama. There were tzaddikim like the Chazanish and other tzaddikim that there would be someplace and there was something that was going on that was not there was in a cave or something, and the Bechlal didn't see them. The Bechlal didn't see anything. Well, like the Gemara says, like something that's pure and holy, not seeing anything that's not nice. Ad kedekach, the Ur Shal Torah, the Ur Shal, the light, the hidden inner light of Torah, had brought them to a place where the Milchama is over. Not that the Milchama is over, it's Nishka Milchama. What's the Milchama? And then it's Tzarech Kolkach, now Kolkach, because Sof Kol Sof, as long as it is in the Shamash of a Guf, it's not so Pashit. And there are different levels of milchamas. But often clearly, Einan Tzarech Kolkach Lios Baal Milchamas. Doesn't have to be such a Baal Milchamas. There doesn't have to be such turbulence in his life. The Tachlis of a Jew, ultimately, is to come to that place where Uvacharta Bechayim is a madrege in Chaim, in life itself, not a choice between life and death, between good and evil, but madregas of Tov, a madregas of light, an intensity of light, not to make a choice between light and darkness. The darkness doesn't tempt him anymore. He's not tempted by the darkness. Just look a little bit at the note on the side over there. Hayoshev HaKovesh Avchonazu b'shnei tipusim shonim shel hasmadidus musaris. These two types, again, it's a typology. These two types of dealing with the challenges. Mefir etzel hakadmanim k'shnei tfisos k'shnei shlovim haporish mul hakadosh. So sometimes you see the one who's a parish, precious. Those who are separate, ascetics, and so on. Mula Kodesh Chosed HaMeula Mula Kovish is Yisrael. In the writings of the Rambam, there's the Chosed HaMeula, the Chosed HaMeula, and the Chavis Lavav, this is opposed to the one who's Kovish is Yisrael, the one who's conquering is Yisrael. There's the Chosed HaMeula. HaKovish Oiches B'musa Kivim Yisores HaMerasnois Es Meutzas Asus HaDoher. The Kovish understands Musa, Mitzvahs, and so on, like the one who's holding on to the reins of the horse and holding back the horse from going crazy and running too fast. And that's how he sees halacha. Short of chumrius v'yitzvius, but all of his life and the entire world is filled with chumrius and yitzharus. And this is what mostly is being taught in the world of yeshivas and so on. And he's to hold on to try to keep the horse from getting out of control. Just to hold on to that the horse shouldn't get out of control. Again, these are pure shemiyun. These are pure models, but it's always back and forth. He doesn't have to crush his koich. He doesn't see life as holding back his inner vitality and energy. He refines and is merim and lifts them up. Ketfisas Musa Hakaidish Shel Harav Hayosha Ma'adin Amalas Achul. And of course, this is a big sugi in Taras Baal Shem. Bchalal in Kabbalah in Taras Baal Shem. Achul Mis Arkadei Shlita B'Chesroinis B'Chomer V'Afilu B'Mavis, to have complete control over everything that's dark, even over death itself. And the third volume of Aris Hakaidish is Mukdash Kuloi Labiru Darko B'Sugi Zum. That's why many of the chevra now, when they start to learn Aris HaKadosh, they begin with the third chelik. The third chelik of Aris HaKadosh is completely this sugya of these two different ways of avoda. These two different ways. Our mitzvah will continue next day of Shabbos.